broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. The DraftKings Sportsbook took me just right at 2 hours to get here yesterday. What a great, great drive. I was driving like a maniac, though, but that's beside the point. All you need to do is fly right down I-10. I mean, all the hassle of flying to Vegas and the expense and the 7 hours, 8 hours to get to your hotel. Come on. You're just 2 hours down the road right here at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and you got a beautiful sports book, beautiful casino, pool. We got the golf tournament. You know, there's three of these Southern Texas PGAs here now. You got all kinds of golfers here from the Southern Texas right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
right.
We got a bunch of tournaments going on.
Mm-hmm.
Of
yeah, of course. So that is so fun. Yeah. I played in it before. It is so fun. It is so good.
Yeah.
If you're at a, you need to tell your, if you haven't played in it, you're at a club in in Houston, and you're pro. And general manager hasn't gotten you involved. All the guys from Carlton Woods are here. The Wildcat guys, they win it all the time. So this is so much fun. So get on over here to Golden Nugget and play in that tournament. Dell, have you played in it? You haven't played in it, have you? Dell hasn't played in it. I'm going to try to get him in into the tournament sometime soon.
Being that the weather broke, too, it's 60 degrees.
So yeah, it's going to be nice out there.
Demand. If you're a golfer, come on out.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful, Dell. That's what I'm saying. He's gonna be in. They'll be in there someday, I'm sure, mixing it up with the peeps. The handle. We got Seattle and New England. Not what everybody expected. I think most, 90% of the experts are going to pick Seattle. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean.
And I can't understand why it's 4.5 points. Why is it not more points?
No, I agree. You know, when I thought it would go up, the highest I think it was 5. The juice, they've been playing with the juice. You know, I've seen as high as minus 130 or 4.5. But I'm with you, John. I expected to see 6, 5.5, 6, as much handle that is on the game. But, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of New England, and I think they're just a little nervous getting out to 5, 6 points and seeing the reverse come on here late and before the Super Bowl. So, you know, as we continue to, you know, evaluate the line and the different things that are going on, you know, I think 4.5, 5. We might see 5 by Sunday if this pattern continues, but I think that'll be where I'll sit.
I'm surprised it's not 7, 7.5.
Yeah, not to give out an early prediction. I think it's going to be double digits Seattle, to be honest, and that's, you know, I think that's where they're just solid in every category.
Yep.
You know, they're just solid. They're a solid team. New England's still young, you know, and you know, but to go back, 4.5, 5, I think what it'll be. Seeing a lot of under as well. That's mm-hmm. that's heavy, 80% under at 45.5. You know, again, I think Seattle can score. I think, you know, it's up to Bradford. It depends how he shows up and what he can do. If he gets a 10-point lead, you know, forces made it to start throwing it more than they want to. I think they'll both stop the run and have to go to the pass here to score. So I think that's another one that's heavy under. I think the over will probably go there.
It's interesting because, you know, New England has a lot of games where they've scored some points.
Yeah.
Like, I know with the last two games we looked at, one was in horrific weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last three. One was in horrific weather. One was against the Texans, which wasn't, you know, it's not like it was warm weather. But it was, you know, that was Seattle's a really good defense.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying we're not expecting it to have a weather element associated with it,
right.
Really.
Yep.
And I don't know. There's reason to believe that with Josh McDaniels having a couple weeks to prepare. I could see New England coming out and being much sharper offensively than they were the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Last three games, I should say.
And, you know, May's just got to make sure he doesn't turn it over. And I'm with you. I think that, they've played these solid defenses the last couple weeks. And, Seattle's good, but I don't think they're as good as the Texans. And, 2 weeks to prepare, you could really design a nice game plan there for put some points on the board.
Yeah, we'll see. What kind of props are we looking at? Are you got any trends with those?
Yeah, there's some fun ones. There's some novelty props over here. Of course, we got the coin toss. Here's one. The Gatorade, Blue's the favorite right now, 2-1. Yeah, so Blue's the favorite there. I was looking at the some of them. There's a field goal in each quarter. Is it about a 2-1 line right there? And but as you go through it, we're seeing. I was pulling up some of the other props here as we go. As far as betting the futures, Sam Darnold's the favorite for the MVP. Drake May's like 2-1, 2.5-1. As a betting perspective, if you like New England, it's probably going to go to the quarterback,
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It's a good chance to parlay them together.
What are the odds on May?
Bradford's 1.5-1 and then 2.5-1 on Drake May. So if you're in New England, if you're betting New England, add Drake May as the MVP and, add some odds to your bet there. And then, the same way with Seattle, I think you tie them together and that's a decent bet there as we go. Trying to look at, and I apologize, my computer's acting up there, but there's another one, touchdown and a field goal by each team is like 6-1. So there's a bunch of fun prop bets out there that, that you can play out there. Like I said, coin toss, there's a mixture of touchdowns. Will there be a touchdown pass thrown by outside a quarterback? Uh-huh. I think that's like 3-1. Super Bowl, they're goofy. I think probably last 3-4 Super Bowls, some different type of plays happened out there. So there's different things out there you can bet.
Can Kenneth Walker throw? Can Smith and Jigba throw?
I haven't seen it.
Can Stephon Diggs throw?
I think Diggs has before.
Has he thrown a ball? Has he thrown a pass?
I think so.
I think he did it. Did he do it with Buffalo? Yeah, I think he's done it before. So you got, Drake May to throw two passing touchdowns in a quarter, 2-1. Darnold is same thing, 2-1.
Wait, 2-1 for two passing touchdowns in a quarter? That's all you get, 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1.
I feel like that should be a lot more.
Yep. And this is 2-1. This one's even crazier. Drake May to have 100-plus yards in a quarter is 4-1.
Passing?
Yeah, passing.
And 100 and a quarter is a lot.
That's a lot of yards. So.
I mean, he might throw for 180. I mean, what's his average? 220? What's his average per game?
Yeah.
220? 100 and a quarter?
It's more than
that. No wonder it's 4-1.
Yeah.
No wonder that's 4-1. Safety?
Yeah, safety is.
With these two defenses, I don't know that that's a bad bet.
Yeah. Will there be an octopus? 14-1. So that's a fun.
Here he is. He threw with Houston. That's what I thought. Stephon Diggs was 1-for-1, 13-yard completion with the Texans for a touchdown.
There should be a bet if anybody other than the quarterback throws a pass.
Here's one. Quarterback to catch a pass, 10-1.
So, quarterback to catch a pass.
Yeah, a little reverse.
May is a good athlete. What's May's rushing yards? Although, you know what? Got to go back and look and see what any quarterbacks have rushed against Seattle this year.
Yeah.
Because they play a lot of zone.
Zone coverage will do that.
Yeah, they won't do that.
Keeps you in front of
– Yeah.
Keeps everything downhill.
Even money for Drake May's 40 yards.
Yeah. Now, he ran a lot against Denver.
They play a lot of man.
Yeah.
They play a lot of man. That's right. So, I don't know that he's going to run that. I think – under 40 is probably a play. I don't think Seattle's going to let him run the football.
Yeah, and it's weird because I'm seeing now he only averages 29 yards a game. So that's a lot of yards. But it is the Super Bowl, and he might tuck it and run.
Well, he's been tucking and running it lately. Well, he did against Denver anyway. But, again, Seattle doesn't play zone, so they're not going to turn their backs on him.
Here's the one I like as far as rushing props, Rashid Shaheed. You get plus money on 5 yards.
Rushing yards,
yeah,
Rashid.
Yeah, one reverse. Well, yeah. That's all you need is one reverse from him, and you probably hit that. So,
however, if they do run a reverse, which they might and probably will, yeah, and he doesn't get the 5 yards, you ain't doing it again.
No.
You got one shot at that.
Passing props, Darnold's at 230 at basically even money, and Drake Mays at 221 right now.
That's what I figured. He'd be 220 in that neighborhood.
Yep.
And against this defense, I don't know. I don't know that he's going to throw for 220. I like seeing New England's defense has been really good, too, though.
It's really good. It's tough. I, as far as a betting perspective, like I said, I'm leaning Seattle. You know, I've gone against them many times this year, and they've sold me. After the last 2 weeks, they've sold me.
Here's what I think is huge: first score. Because if Seattle scores first, I think it's got a chance to really get out of hand. But if New England scores first, it could tighten them up. It could tighten Sam Darnold and tighten up the Seahawks.
Yeah. And do you take the ball? Do you try that?
Of course, you always want that ball in the second half.
Yeah.
Tom Brady loved that. He loved having the ball last in the first half and then in the second half.
It was 8 minutes.
And you could put points on to end the half and then put points on to start the second half. That's huge. That's huge.
I agree.
I think whoever wins the coin toss is going to defer, because both defenses have been great.
Yeah, more than likely.
More than likely.
Most of the time they're doing that. Every once in a while, in overtime, we've seen them not do it, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But
well, now you have to take the ball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. Now you have to defer because you want to see what they do, and you can you.
Oh no! We still seen guys.
Now it's defer. It's absolutely.
Well, they're forced to
let them kick.
I saw it this year. I actually saw it in the NFL game.
It was a mistake.
How do you know? I even realize that because they talked about it for like 20 minutes on the broadcast. And I just don't understand why you would do this when you would know if you need a touchdown or field goal, you get 4 plays instead of 3 plays,
right.
Which is the truth.
That's the truth.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what you have to do.
Yeah.
You absolutely want to.
If you have any coach that does that, you know for a fact that they don't like. Game management's not their thing.
No.
It's just not good game managers.
No.
That's
no.
The one area our head coach needs to work on is game management.
Yeah. Anything else? Did you have a big fight weekend?
We did. You know, we had the two UFC fights. The
toupee.
Were you surprised Volkanovski dominated like that?
I thought I liked him. I didn't think he would dominate.
I saw it was plus 115 for the
Lopez.
For Volkanovski to go for the fight to go the distance, and it was plus 115 for Volkanovski to win by decision, which I guess that makes sense since that was the favorite to happen. And I just thought, this is a good Lopez is really, really tough.
Yeah.
Volkanovski is a really talented technician.
But,
plus 115 feels like it's, like it's a good number for
and
you.
And usually, the rematch goes to the guy I lost. And I just saw a report this morning that Lopez's both feet were broke. He broke his feet in that fight, both of them.
In the fight.
So I just saw
broke his feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough fight.
What did he kick?
Yeah.
Shins?
Because it did look like he kicked too much of that.
No,
fight,
he was sitting on the side, and his feet were just dangling there. I saw that picture too.
Paramount, I think, is doing a good job. It was good fight, two cards in a row, and we'll get ready. But we saw a nice crowd. We're starting to see some basketball, movement going on. Got a big game tonight, Kansas, Texas Tech tonight. So, college basketball.
Can you get Cougs action here?
Yes.
You do? Yep. Even though Tillman owns the university?
Yeah.
You can?
Does he? Oh,
No. The University of Tillman, yes. Yes, he does.
Yes, you can bet.
That's funny. You can't bet Rockets, but
you can bet the Cougs.
The Tillman Cougars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basketball's kicking in. So, we're rolling in. Opened up the reservations for March Madness. I mean, that's just around the corner. I blink. January's already done. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
So let's go.
Yep.
GoldenNuggetLC.com. If you want a spot here in the DraftKings Sportsbook, there's nothing better. All those games going on. You always got action going. There's 4 games going at one. It's so much fun. Take that weekend off and get on over here to the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. I'm telling you, there's nothing more fun than being in a sportsbook for the – for the first weekend of the tournament, or the second weekend for that matter.
Yep.
All right. So you got Seattle.
Got Seattle. I'm going double digits.
You're going double digits.
That's
Seattle
as of today.
I don't think you're alone. Friday, I think the books are going to take a beating.
Yep.
Beating this Super Bowl. Yeah. Of course, we thought that with the Giants in New England all the time, right?
Yeah. It never happened.
Yep.
And all the trends show to take New England, but Seattle sold.
I think you're catching all kinds of Seattle money now. You're going to probably catch some New England money late.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yep. I think we'll see some late money on New England this weekend.
Yep. All right, that's John Chill, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. He is with us every week right here. And if you're looking for a great place to bet it, let's go. Get to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Get on over here and watch your big game. You'll have the Blue Martini open too, right?
Yeah, Blue will have reservation of Blue. And then if you're under 21, Cadillac is an option too.
Okay, you can watch
your
game in there.
You can watch it in Cadillac.
Oh, cool. So you can watch it?
Yep.
And with youngsters, if you got kids, that's great.
Yeah, so come on down.
All right, let's go. Get to the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles.
And that game's going to be on every TV in the casino, too.
Yeah, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Although they want you to, hey, let's not slow the table down. Okay.
A rush lounge. Hey, I've watched a game in the rush lounge before. That's so much fun.
There you go. You can even sit at the ice bar over there. So anywhere you want to go, the game will be on.
Absolutely. All right, John Chill, thanks, man. As always, we appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
There is John Chill. Hey, are you somebody that needs to update your bathroom? Because it's kind of a big deal. A glass makes a huge difference. And are you selling your home, or if you haven't done anything with your bathroom, if you've got an older bathroom, the mirror, the shower, the curtains, not a great look. Glass makes a huge difference, and Bluebonnet glass makes the biggest difference. You're going to be bigger, brighter, newer. You want a wine room. You want glass railings. Glass cabinets, room partitions, kitchen backsplashes, and bathrooms. Glass makes a huge difference in your bathroom with your shower. And listen, it's not a big deal. If you're residential, it's not a big deal to have them come out and tell you. They can just, if you need one window fixed, they don't care. Bluebonnet Glass will be there for you. No job too big, no job too small. If you're looking for a great way to update your home, make it look great, glass can make a difference. 832-508-0911 or bluebonnetglass.com. Tell them that you heard it right here. 10% off for first responders. Bluebonnetglass.com.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, John Chill, we appreciate you. We appreciate the Golden Nugget.
John just told me to cheer for him because I gave him a Rookie of the Year play when we were here in August on Carson Swesinger at plus 3,300. And so he played it. And so now he's getting ready to collect a big paycheck on a big payday on Thursday, I guess.
Nice. You didn't give me that.
A couple $200. I said it on the air. What are you talking about?
That doesn't matter. I wasn't listening. You got to tell me. You got to write it.
200.
You got to text it to me.
200 is going to win 6,600.
Huh.
There you go.
200 is going to win 6,600.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
nice.
Right. I do this for a living. And I've won. Last year I had Jared Verse at 10-1. He was a winner. This year Carson Swesinger is a pretty big favorite at 33-1. It was actually Jeff Schwartz. I gave it to him early in the process. He got it at 5,000-1. So he put 100 down to win 5,000. So he's expecting a $5,000 win. But we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if it goes. All the awards are given out. The award ceremony is Thursday. So MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year should be it's not Shuck. Who is it? There's another wide receiver, right?
I don't even thought about it.
Because it was for a while, there was Dart, Shuck, but it was Emeka Ibuka was the favorite for a while. Yeah, it seems like somebody else came
he's
on.
He's probably
recently.
Still him, right?
Seems like, I feel like somebody else came on. Jagstar, Emeka Buka. Tet McMillan. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Tetro McMillan is a big favorite to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Defense Rookie of the Year is supposed to be Carson Swesinger, but we'll see. If it's not him, it will be either James Pierce or Nick Emanuori. Coach of the Year, Mike Vrabel is a big favorite. MVP is, I think it's still up for grabs, but I think Stafford wins.
I do too.
Defensive Player of the Year is 100% going to be Myles Garrett. And Offensive Player of the Year is not Puka.
Puka or Smith and Jigba or?
Might be Smith and Jigba, yeah.
Why not Puka?
A lot
Puka
of times
had a huge year.
Let's see. Who are the favorites? Who are the favorites for Offensive Player of the Year odds? Christian McCaffrey?
Nah, you know.
Well, he's one of – he's well, no. Smith and Jigba is the favorite.
He's the favorite.
Yeah, he's a big favorite, actually.
Yeah.
Puka's plus 7,500. Then Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, so he's a big favorite. Christian McCaffrey, you know, I think McCaffrey's going to win Comeback Player of the Year because he had an injury. That's just such a weird – it's just such a weird award to me because, you know, I think you could also make the case for Dak Prescott, who had a really big statistical year. You had.
Well, I don't like I like coming back from injury. I don't like coming back from suck.
See, I think.
I think
why not? You came back when it looked like you were done. Now, most guys don't come back from suck. Like, it's rare. Daniel Jones, you could make that case for, but he got hurt. But I thought Daniel Jones had a legitimate case for it. You could make the case Trevor Lawrence deserves to win, depending on how you position that. But it's for some people, it's about injury. But just because you're injury, just because you're injured.
Just because you were so crappy, you're going to win an award?
What's harder to come back from right now, an ACL, a broken fibula, or bad being a bad football player?
Well, I mean, what?
It's harder to come back from being a bad football player. Coming back from
not
injury,
if you're a good football player and you had bad coaching or a bad team. I mean,
but you weren't a good football player.
Like Liam
Trevor
Cohen.
Wait
a minute, Liam Cohen should win the award,
Hold
not
on.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is getting guys fired.
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence coming back,
or they didn't know how to coach him because apparently Trevor Lawrence, if you with good coaching, is pretty good.
Well, I mean. Yeah, that's fine. He still has to execute. He still deserves that.
Well, absolutely.
He deserves it more.
Well,
so I think coming back from your career being in shambles is what a true comeback is. Coming back from a broken bone happens all the time. That's not a big deal. I mean, it's really not a big deal at all. You just need the fibula to heal up. Now, where I would disagree, obviously, is – I mean, the point I would make is that for Alex, a guy like Alex Smith, now that's a comeback of the year. That's something that's
– Yeah.
That's incredible. Joe, I thought, but by the same token, it can change. It can be fluid for me because Joe Flacco, what a comeback. He came back into the game. Like, that's incredible. He beat DeMar Hamlin, who had a heart attack on the field.
Right.
That's how good Joe Flacco's comeback was. I think Daniel Jones was having that kind of resurgency and comeback until he was hurt. But
I don't know. I just feel like you're getting rewarded because you suck.
I don't think you should be rewarded because you got injured. And you're coming back from a normal injury that lots of players come back from. That's not hard. Big deal.
No, I think it is a big deal anyway.
It depends on the injury.
The work
an Achilles,
that you had to put in.
I'll give you an Achilles. A broken bone in your knee, a broken bone in your leg, that's not a big deal. Guys come back in the same year from that a lot of times. So I just think not all injuries are the same. Tank Dell, if he comes back and has a big year, that's a comeback player.
Well,
that's a major catastrophic injury.
That's what I'm saying.
Catastrophic injuries. That's not what Dak didn't have a catastrophic injury. But Christian McCaffrey was not a catastrophic injury. Aiden Hutchinson, well, that was not a catastrophic injury. But they're all in the mix and up there. So, you know.
Aaron Rodgers, an Achilles.
I get it, but to me.
At 80 years old, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, if he had played well. Well, his Achilles was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played.
Now, if Aaron had a really good year, I'm not making him comeback player of the year. We had written off. These are guys we had written off Trevor Lawrence, kind of. You know, we had definitely written off Daniel Jones.
Jones.
This was much more possible for Trevor Lawrence to have the year he had than Daniel Jones to have the year he had. We had no. We didn't even know if Daniel Jones was even going to be the starter for the Colts. So that's a really incredible comeback for me. Tank Dell, if he comes back and has 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns, he should be at the front of the line because his injury was – he had four separate ligament tears. That's – or three ligament tears and a separation or a dislocation of the knee. I don't know. But his injury made CJ cry.
It did.
If your injury makes players on the field cry or go to long prayers, if they go to the knees for long, long prayers – then that also you should be eligible.
Lamar Hamlin, he's a
long prayer that is,
cancel a game.
Defensive, then you get play, and he didn't even win.
I know. How about that?
He didn't win.
He's like, what do I have to do?
They're like,
what do I have to do?
The 40-year-old took a team to the playoffs.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to die on the field, and you guys, I still can't win. Come back later.
They brought him back.
Terrible. All right, when we come back, we'll hear Steve Smith's thoughts on the Texans' offense and their problems. That'll be next right here on ESPN 97.5. I'm talking right now about Champion Energy. It's cold, people. If you're looking for the best way to get that electricity in the house, there's one way, and that's champion.energy/1560. I was with them for 17 years, loved everything about them. You're looking for a great way to get your electricity at your house. I don't know what you're paying for your electricity. I know that I paid less because I went with Champion Energy. I've recommended it to people, and they were amazed at how much less they were paying at Champion Energy. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity at a great price. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Boom. Time to talk Texans. We haven't talked Texans at all in this show. That's on you. Okay. Oh, this coach and that coach and comeback player, whatever. We got to talk about our Texans. Steve Smith.
Let's see if we can do it without talking about the quarterback. I'm going to see if I can do it without talking about the quarterback.
Good luck considering this clip.
Listen to this clip.
Never mind. I heard it with him and James Palmer. They do the podcast together.
Yeah. All right. Here is Steve Smith talking about the Texans' problems.
But their offense, at times, hasn't been always great. It's been inconsistent. And a lot of that has led to the inability to really have good protection sometimes consistency up front, that it's very hard to know which play do we call because we can't block anything up. We lack to make adjustments, and we don't want to run the football sometimes. So now we're just putting everything on C.J. Stroud's hands against a poor offensive line, and all of a sudden he's supposed to make chicken salad out of chicken And that's just extremely tough. The Kansas City Chiefs, when they won that game, you got to remember, you go back to that game against Kansas City Chiefs, that second half, man, that third quarter was horrible offensively. They made no adjustments. Mm-hmm. They did nothing new. They didn't even try to run the ball. All they did is say, hey, CJ, line up in pistol and shotgun formation. Hey, thoughts and prayers, and try to figure out how we could stop this, because, you know, that dude Chris Jones, yeah, he's big. Yeah, he can hurt you. Don't worry.
So is it still the offensive line?
Nah, it's CJ as much as the line at this point. I mean, the line is convenient for people who want to try to win an argument. The line is a convenient target. If we're being honest about this, the line was way better. You know, people try to find – so here's the thing. I deal with PFF a lot. I watch tape. I deal with pass rushers. I see pressure rates and all that. When you see pressure numbers on PFF, there are pressures that are given that aren't really near – they don't do this based on next gen. Next gen has wearable technology, so you've got to be within a certain amount of space from the quarterback who's also wearing the wearable technology. PFF has somebody at a house watching tape and putting a grade, like deciding, is that a pressure or not? And I've seen pressures. I've looked at pressures for a player. I'll hit a player's pressures, and I'll watch go like, he's not even impacting. We think pressure is having an impact on the play. Do you know that you only have to be even remotely close to get a pressure? So the idea of this pressure rate, yeah, in the NFL, you're going to have players around you. That's going to be the case. So the two arguments I always see is, well, you know, you can look at his pressure. Look at the pressure rate. He's under duress the whole time. But then when I watch a game, it doesn't match up with what I saw, where I thought, well, I thought he had a decent amount of time, yeah, like relatively speaking. It doesn't match up with the visuals.
Right.
This pressure.
Oh, like one of his games, I said, oh, that was the most pressures he's been in his career. And I was like, I didn't feel like that.
Exactly. And that's because of how they grade. And that's why you can't box score scout. That's not, you know, watch the games and you get the feeling. Last year, they were substantially worse at protecting the quarterback. It was a major issue last year. This year, I didn't think it was the overriding factor for CJ's struggles. Not at all. In fact, I think people try to use that as an excuse for him for some of the poor plays. So, you know, I think if Steve watched the Texans every week, you know, I think that he can the protection be better? Yes, but this is really not – this is actually better – interior, like, you had some issues with Jake Andrews late in the year. I'll give you that. You definitely had issues late in the year with Jake Andrews. But I don't think that's the reason CJ struggled. I don't. Now, player was in his face, don't throw the ball, take the sack, dirt the ball, whatever, on the pick six for New England. That's a quarterback decision. They just didn't go after the boot action. That's all it was. That's not a pass. That's not a protection issue. That is a end being disciplined, where he says, okay, we're not going to bite down on the run. You're going to have quarterback on the boot action if you see play action. And so that's what you stay with. That's an unblocked player. It's not designed to be blocked. You don't block that player on a bootleg action. So, you know, that's up to CJ to get rid of the ball. I think that's given CJ an out. And his play hasn't been good enough. We've all watched it.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good enough.
The line play, with my human eyes, and I'm not judging.
I want better run blocking. If you really want to know the truth,
yeah,
I got more problems with the run blocking than the pass protection.
Yeah.
The run blocking's not
we
nearly good
enough. We had one 100-yard game this year.
Uh-huh.
One 100-yard game.
They're not really.
Rusher.
You had a couple. Like, they were great against the Steelers. But in general, it hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
The run blocking hasn't been very good in general.
Well, that was regular season, right? Did we have multiple? I think we just had one guy this year have 100 yards. And it was Woody. That was it.
Yep.
One time. And that's just not good enough. If you can run the football, CJ is going to be better.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
I mean, so maybe it does stem from that. If you can't run the football, you're in second and eight, second and nine all the time.
Yeah. CJ's going to benefit.
CJ's going to be better.
He's definitely going to benefit from a better run game. I think that's the number one thing is get the right offensive linemen. Get as many of the best offensive linemen as you can. You got to do a good job and hit on your picks, you know, and then find, you know, and then hopefully Tank Dell comes back healthy or Jalen Noel becomes the factor. One of those two is a major factor, and get another running back. And then from there, if your running game makes a jump into the top half of the league, do you know how much easier CJ's job is going to be? It's going to be so much easier. He'll be able to just steer the ship, manage a game. I don't think he is maybe good enough to be a win because of quarterback. I don't think he can take a team.
Wasn't he that way his rookie year? He was.
Well, I mean, was he? I don't know. Go look at his. I've done this before. Go look at his box score. Go look at his game log and tell me if it's as good as you remember. He had some good games. He had some stinkers in there too. But he's a rookie. No one cares. He had great come-from-behind wins or come-from-behind tries on some of them against Tampa, New Orleans, like Atlanta, I think. And that's where we started to say, man, this guy's kind of special. He's kind of special. But when you look at his overall season, he had a good season. But we kind of misremember it as this special season. It was a good season. It was a good season.
All right.
He had a good job. It wasn't always a sustained three-game run, though.
Yeah. Okay, against Tampa, he threw for 470. Following week at Cincinnati, 356.
Yeah, those
following
are...
week, 336 against Arizona, 304.
He did throw three picks in that game, though, against the Cardinals.
He did throw three picks. He against Tampa, 475 touchdowns, no interception.
I remember that. Yeah, that was the game where he made that big come from behind. Yeah. They won that, though,
39-37.
Right?
Yeah. He had to come,
And that was phenomenal.
Now, that was win because of. They gave up 37 that day.
He was special in that game. He was special. That's what it looks like.
That's probably his best game ever, I would imagine. But he's 23-5 that year, and three of them came in one game. So,
three interceptions?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
23-5.
Now, as you go down deeper in the season, he had the injury. He had a couple games that were kind of stinkers around there. How was he in the postseason?
In the postseason, he was 100. He threw for 274. He was good. 16 of 21, 274, three touchdowns against the Browns.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good. 45-14 they won. And then not great against Baltimore, 19 to 33, 175 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah. I mean, he just wasn't good. They didn't score an offensive touchdown that game.
Yeah, he wasn't very good against the Chiefs either. In his losses, they haven't been very good. So that there's moments there. They're special in there.
Yes.
They're
That's
special.
What I'm saying. We saw him We've not just it. Be a game manager. Won because of
it. It was a while back. We saw it. So he does have it, yeah. He does have that in his background. Can he get back there mentally? I think a lot of it is mental. I think probably all of it is mental.
Yeah, I agree.
Because do you want to see his offensive line?
But it corresponded to the offensive line falling apart.
The offensive line was injured most of the year. That offensive line was in shambles.
But
do you remember that?
Yeah.
He never had the same offensive line.
But then next year it was awful.
Next year is awful, yes. I think it also has – yes, that's part of it. I think when CJ felt – now, how did he feel protected with a bunch of backups? Because there was just a bunch of backups for about 70% of that year. And yet, that's why I wasn't worried about it. Last year was a disaster. They couldn't pick up stunts. There was a lot of internal pressure.
Yes.
I think there is something to him not having Tank Dell. Now, he had Tank Dell the year before, and it wasn't special. When he was at his best, you had Nico and Tank. I don't know. He just was playing with a different level of confidence. Like, he was a dude.
Yep.
He was a dude. He looks completely.
Completely shot. Yep. Yep. And maybe, you get PTSD from this offensive line. David Carr got it.
David Carr never had moments like CJ had.
No.
So, the only way, we saw it with David Carr. It does happen with quarterbacks when they start to drop their eyes and they can't play down the field because they lose confidence. It's sometimes it's hard to get that back. It's like a guy who got hit by a pitch in a batter's box who always flinches on curveballs. That happens.
That's me. And I never even got hit, really.
Yeah.
But I was
flinch on curveballs.
I flinched on mediocre fastballs. I flinched. I couldn't. That's why I'm not in the bigs right now.
That's not why you're not in bigs. You couldn't overcome that.
No, I couldn't. M&J now.
Hey, you get hammered going into the lane in basketball. Old school. When they used to get hammered going to the lane, they did that, and then there were some guys who said, "I'm shooting mid-range jumpers. I'm not going back in there.
I'm making business decisions.
Business decisions. Yep. Somebody who gets their bell rung, a cornerback.
CJ's making business decisions now,
but you can't
I'm
make
just
business.
Throwing the ball up and just getting rid
That's
of it.
Bad for business. That's bad for business. That's not a business decision. Well, that's very bad for
that's
business.
That's what it looked like the last game.
But what business are you in? That's not a good business model.
Not a great business.
M&J Electrical Supply.
Yep.
So M&J, what makes them special is that M&J basically is not only going to take out your old electrical, and I'm talking to, for example, a lot of you who are going to be contractors or general contractors or electrical contractors. This is what you need to know. M&J can come in there, take out your old electrical stuff, your switches, your gears, fuses, anything that in terms of the wiring that you're going to have, they will do that. Your circuit breakers, your motor starters, transformers, disconnects. That's what I was going for, disconnects. They can take it all out for you. They'll do it for you. And then once they do that for you, they're going to refurbish and sell that. Now, if you wanted to buy it, you could absolutely buy it anytime you need. I mean, they sell and they buy electrical equipment. They sell new and used electrical equipment. They buy used electrical equipment. They want to take it out themselves so it's taken out properly, and they're going to pay you good money for that old electrical equipment. You could take it to a scrapyard and get scrap prices. These prices are substantially better. So if you are a general contractor, an electrical contractor, or a construction manager, a demolition guy, let them come in and buy that from you and get you the money that you deserve for this old, for the old electrical items. And of course, like I said, they sell refurbished items with a 1-year warranty, and they sell brand new items. They can really cut down on your lead time if you have a big job coming up. Emergency needs for electrical parts, they can take care of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days per year. They're located on Steubner Airline near I-45 North and West Little York. Call 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055. That's M&J Electrical Supply.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Big ups to Luther Vandross, who last night won record of the year at the Grammys.
He's well, been dead for 21 years.
I was going to say.
Yeah, Cher announced that last night. And the winner, and the Grammy goes to Luther Vandross.
Did she not?
And who was it? Who won?
Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar. I don't know how she got.
Why did she say, well, she is
for
old.
Luther. The name of the album was Luther.
The album was.
She's older too. She probably
She didn't know. But she should have known Luther was dead. No.
Yes.
I mean, she might have
known
that.
Here and now.
I mean, she's in the biz, don't you think?
Yeah, it's just a mistake. Know. Simple mistake.
Who wouldn't? That's how that was. Okay, so that's the last thing. Just like when they announced the wrong Academy Award. Remember, they announced a couple years ago.
La La Land. Yeah. No.
No, wait. No.
Wait. There's Moonshine.
Well, there's a
Moonlight.
Song. The album's not the Luther. There's a song on his album called Luther. Did it win Song of the Year or something?
No, I don't know.
But how the hell did
somehow she got Luther Vandross out of all that. Somehow, some way. She still looks pretty good, though, for being 100 years old.
That's what money, the money's for.
Yeah. Except she did a lot of work on her face. That's
which
the only problem.
Like. Well, they're all generally in that world, generally like morphing into each other. Like when you get a certain age, all the faces become the same because they're all going to the same surgery.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. My wife was there last night. She said Joni Mitchell is not doing that.
Well, there are some who say that's not
Joni
me.
Mitchell.
She's still alive.
Yeah, I know. No, she's not. I think most of them don't. And it's probably pretty expensive, too.
Well, they got money. They ain't worried about that.
I don't know how much money Joni Mitchell
Joni
has.
Joni Mitchell has, are you kidding? For all of
music.
Her music all those years?
Who?
Residual think, money?
Wait a minute. You think record companies? You think she's getting tight record deals?
No.
I bet she doesn't have as much as you think.
I'll bet she's got money, brother.
And maybe she does. Maybe she's not vain.
You know, the residual of every time her song plays.
Who's playing her songs?
A bunch of people.
Where?
Are you kidding?
You know how many streams you have to have on streaming platforms?
I know my wife plays her music.
In movies and stuff and TV shows. Will she get her songs played there?
Yeah.
I imagine she would.
Absolutely.
Depending on the tone of the TV.
She's still got bangers out there.
What's her banger?
Bangers.
What's one of her songs?
Is,
A Case of You?
What? No.
That sound song from it? Song sound familiar? A Case of You?
That's not it.
Never heard of that.
Both Sides Now?
Both Sides Now. Both Sides Now.
It's Both Sides Now.
No, that's Luther.
Oh, that's
Vandross.
Luther. Oh, my bad.
Play Both Sides Now, AJ. And
don't AJ.
Yes. I mean,
We're
it's a song
show.
You know real
I don't
well.
Know it. I really don't know it. I don't know Joni Mitchell.
You do know.
I never liked Joni.
A Florida woman says her toes were amputated due to spider bites. And she's suing. Do you feel like if you move into an apartment that you shouldn't have your toes amputated by spiders? Biting her toes off. I feel like it's not a place I want to live.
After the first couple, like, were they poisonous spiders, so it only took like a couple bites, or was this happening over a long period of time and she just couldn't get a hold of it inside? You know what? After the 4 straight weeks of these spiders biting my toes, now I'm going to do something about it?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well,
maybe it's a really poisonous
or
spider.
Or maybe just one night they all attacked her toes.
Hey, lady, wash your dirty.
I don't know. I just feel like.
Is she a white woman?
She is a white woman.
Let me ask you two this, because this became a thing for a little bit.
Why does it matter as to a white woman?
Let me get to my question. Because AJ's going to know this. They're culturally, there are different ways people wash up. Like, some people let the soap just run down their legs, and they say, hey, I wash my legs. Other people will actually scrub, and by other people, I mean black people. White people are generally considered the people who just let the soap run down. Hey, my legs are clean.
Doing its job.
Oh. Yeah, see?
You just take a bar.
See? You too?
Yeah, you take
a bar. No, I wash my legs.
So you actually do the scrubbing.
Yeah.
Lance?
I mean, not scrubbing, but I wash it.
That's what I'm saying. You don't use a washcloth.
No, I never use a washcloth.
You just let the soap run down your legs? Do you use a
washcloth? No, I actually...
I take a bar of soap.
And
so
wash.
You don't, yeah. Some people,
or a soft, or the pump
soap. Right.
Some people will. Just, hey, the
and
soap
you,
got,
and you,
yeah, you little, yeah. little rubber dub dub. Some yeah. people yeah. do the whole hey, the soap
the
just ran down my legs.
What
I'm
soap?
Clean. Like when you're washing yourself up top.
Or shampoo.
What, you just do your chest and then
some
you hope everything.
Some people don't wash their feet.
Now
just,
I'm not a soap. Now I will say I'm not a washcloth guy.
Do you wash your feet?
Yeah, most times. Yeah. Most times, sometimes the water.
I mean, just a swipe. Yeah.
See, AJ, this is what I'm saying. That's why I asked if this woman was white, because some white people just let the soap.
That's
hey, if it gets there, it gets there.
I think that's fair. I think you're being fair.
Yeah. So maybe she don't wash her feet.
And maybe she probably doesn't use lotion on her legs.
Well, we know she doesn't use lotion.
She's white.
Maybe moisturize up top with the face. And
AJ,
the arms.
You use lotion on your legs.
Always.
What kind of question is that? What are we doing here? Of course he does. He's not Kevin Durant.
Okay. We're done. Okay. You just tried to make this as long as possible.
I just asked you a question because I thought. Because that lady having her toes bit off by spiders.
Because maybe they were dirty.
Maybe.
They might have been clean in the spider. Spiders don't eat dirty feet. I don't know if
you don't
heard.
Know that. You haven't done the research. you don't know that.
Spiders.
You don't know. You don't actually know. Don't know.
You don't know.
I bet you the. There's a
spiders lore. Are they're like, oh, that filthy feet, I need
bet
that.
I bet you if she hit those toes with some Dove, the spiders would have been off to something else. That's all I'm saying.
We're done. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5. Hope you enjoyed it. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.